Hey, by the way, I wanted to get your thoughts. We got the announcement earlier today that freshman offensive lineman Melvin McBride is going to retire from football due to a personal medical condition. And you just start looking back. Is it just me, or it just seems like Tennessee has had more of these type of injuries that have now, ended careers prematurely compared to other programs, not only in the SEC but across the country? Or is it just one of those things where it just happens in cycles?
I think that you have some players that they just dealt with injuries and they were injury prone. I think with McBride, I don't know that there's that much that can be done. Now, Pruitt comes from the Saban school, and if you look at the number of guys Saban ends up putting on medical scholarships, a lot of times you'll just see them. Hey, if a guy's not going to play, and so just let him go through the rounds of pretending as if he's going to be on the field or taking part with everything, go home with the team. He'll open up that scholarship spot. Like, a lot of coaches will do that, especially at Tennessee. They've done that in the past. The guy that's never going to step on the field because of where his body is, but we'll keep him on scholarship and let him be part of the team. The Saban tree kind of doesn't do that. What they do is throw a guy directly on medical scholarship. He gets his school paid for, but they can open that scholarship up to go recruit another player. And I think you're seeing one reason you're seeing so many of these happen under Pruitt right now is that's how he's looking at it as well. It's twofold, I think, why we've seen so many guys lately happen. And these are just things that I have been told by people that were with the medical staff at Tennessee. One, the training room was optional at Tennessee. It wasn't a mandatory, you go into the training room. That wasn't something that, like with the basketball team, the players have to go do cryotherapy treatment, Normatec boot treatment, these types of things to keep guys from getting injured. And under Butch Jones, that wasn't the case. If you wanted to go into the training room, you could, but it wasn't as like Tennessee basketball is or some other football programs are. Chip Kelly's the guy who kind of was on the cutting edge of this back at Oregon, where we're going to do all of these new age training type of things to make sure we keep guys healthy and get guys back from injury as fast as we can. Under Butch, they weren't made to go do these things. And a lot of former players at Tennessee under that time said when they got to the NFL, they couldn't believe that looking back on it, they weren't made to go into the training room to deal with these types of things. Another thing is I think that there was a disconnect. I think they had a strength and conditioning coach that had no business probably doing football. I think that some of the things that they were doing, the lifts that they were doing, were not football specific. I mean, why would you have your guys doing squats while holding an overhead lift instead of just squats, right? And then you have a number of guys with neck injuries. There were times that I think the strength coach said, wouldn't listen to the doctors on, hey, this guy can't lift over his head heavy, and he's lifting over his head heavy. And you have two players that year that missed the season because of neck injuries and shoulder injuries that at least I know the people on the medical staff believe were avoidable. Instead, you end up with guys, just never really getting healthy again. Now, that's not everyone. Some of these guys just dealt with injuries in high school. Tennessee took a flyer on some of these four-star players that were good players, hoping they would get healthy, and it never worked out. But I do think that Tennessee had an issue with their strength and conditioning program and their medical program there for a little while. And right now, Jeremy Pruitt's having to fill the brunt of that.
Will West joining us again from Knoxville. By the way, that's the craziest thing that I've ever heard. Never heard that. And about not making the training room mandatory.
One player told me that he even would yell at his teammates, I can't believe they're supplying these things for us and you're not using it. But there was just no oversight, and it kind of was an inmates run the asylum thing a little bit with Butch Jones, especially if you were a high four or five star player.
Because here's the thing, for listeners hearing this right now, they're going, oh, well, certainly if they're injured, they're going to get some help. First of all, guys, how many times are guys rushing to the doctor when they get sick anyway, right? Guys just don't do that. So, and then we're talking about, 18 to 22-year-olds here. They're certainly not going to do it if it's optional. Just not going to happen. And so, I can see where those bad habits, led to probably – injuries that have lingered more than they should have. Probably the injuries became more severe because they weren't treated properly. And yeah, I understand that first and foremost, it's on the athlete for, taking care of himself. But you can't rely on the athlete, just like you can't rely on an athlete to take himself out of a ball game if he has a concussion. You have to protect the athletes from themselves. And in this case, you have to make sure that was mandatory.
Well, I mean, and you look at the difference between Tennessee basketball doing those things, right? Tennessee basketball didn't deal with it. When guys dealt with injuries, they didn't last very long. They didn't linger. There was no one injury causes another injury. guys were out there playing through pain and things like that. They were able to manage those things with using some of those things. But just the difference in the mindset. And so Pruitt, I think, is having to deal with that brunt. I don't believe, from what I'm told, none of this is on him. One player that's in the NFL now told me, I got to the NFL and they just hand you a card and say, these are the lists that you're doing when you show up to work out with the team. And I didn't do any of these things in college. Like the stuff that we were doing, like linemen were doing distance runs instead of doing sprints. And it's like, what do linemen need to do distance runs for? What good is that going to do? And things like that. And, you know, making guys do heavy squats during the season 3 days a week. Things like that that make no sense whatsoever. And I'll just be real, the guy's never, he has not had a football strength and conditioning job since he left Tennessee. It was just, I give the guy with a buddy of Butch's, and he had no business probably having that gig.
Let's look at one of the aspects of Tennessee as far as 2019 that we haven't explored yet, as far as with regards to the special teams and specialists, you know, place kicking, punting, return game. You know, usually we can, we're talking about average to above average, something that at least we can count on being pretty decent. Does that still hold true for 2019?
Yeah, I think so. They have a number of options, kicker, punter, return. They have a number of options. I think it's going to be very interesting to see which of those skill guys they have that'll be used in the return game. That's going to be probably the most interesting thing to me when I look at Tennessee this year. Ty Chandler, how much do you use Ty Chandler in the return game? Because he's an electric player when you get the ball in his hands. They didn't get the ball in his hands nearly enough last year, I didn't think, especially in space. I think that's something that bringing Jim Chaney in will change. But then do you use Ty Chandler in the kick and punt return game? I think you definitely don't in the punt return game. You probably do in the kick return game. And that can be a guy that sets up field position for you. As conservative as Jeremy Pruitt kind of wants to be offensively, you would think field position and special teams, those types of things, would be of the utmost importance to him. But it's going to be tough to manage when do I throw my starters out there in these types of roles versus using my maybe more athletic backup in those roles, even if it means a yard or two less that we end up averaging, or three or four maybe on kickoffs per return. So that to me is going to be the biggest question when we look at what Tennessee special teams are going to be this year, is what does that return game look like? So, and who are the guys that they use in their return game? Tennessee has not just good, but great wide receivers. We just didn't see them used last year because of how conservative Pruitt wanted to be. So with that, with Chaney, how much does that change? Do you use some of these wide receivers that aren't getting the ball that much or did last year, more so in the return game as well? That'll be very interesting to see how Pruitt kind of sets that up and how the special teams are set up for Tennessee this year.
Well, I think in all fairness, because I don't necessarily believe that that's the way Jeremy Pruitt wants to run an offense, but it's almost like a new basketball coach takes over a team, realizing, looking at his schedule, looking at the talent that he has at this point, and realizes I can't play the way I want to play and beat with anybody, can't stay with anybody. I don't have the depth and quality of the players. And so what you do, you take the air out of the ball. And the same thing applies to, you know, Jeremy Pruitt, quite aware that what he wants Tennessee to be 3-4 years down the road from now compared to what it was when he first arrived on campus. You know, you've got to make the game shorter in the way you do it. You run the ball. You don't let the clock stop with incomplete passes. And you try to put yourself in a position to win games in the fourth quarter.
Well, you know, I think that – I'll just say that what I was told when Tyson Helton got the job last year, he was going to have to run an offense that wasn't necessarily what he wanted to run. It was going to be ultra-conservative, but he was getting a salary pretty much triple to come over from USC to do it. And so they tried that last year. The unfortunate part when you do that is – when you're running an ultra-conservative offense, you're relying on your offensive line more than if you do anything, any other type of offensive system you can find. And the offensive line's the weakest point on the team. So it didn't work last year, and that's why you saw Helton leave, and that's when I think that those two guys fought a lot, and I think those are two guys that are going to fight with a lot of people a lot. And I don't think it was a personal situation. I think they still liked each other. They just argued a lot about what the offense wanted to be. And I think Helton wanted to open it up, and Pruitt didn't. And I think Pruitt is old school. And he even made a joke to us one time. You guys know me. I'd run the split beer if I could get away with it. He just kind of is that guy that wants to run a conservative offense and protect his defense and play old school football. But I kind of almost get with the jokes that he's made about how conservative he wants to be. I kind of get when he brought Jim Chaney in, he realizes, okay, I can't necessarily do that. So what I'll do is kind of split the difference. And Jim Chaney kind of runs something between an ultra-conservative offense that is a very physical offense, and it takes time off the clock, At the same time, he's not afraid to throw the ball if he needs to throw the ball and get the ball downfield a little bit more. And so I think that what you're seeing is, I'll tell you, there's one thing that I would say for Jeremy Pruitt, but I think it's his biggest strength, is his ability to evolve. And he does it on a dime. And that's something you don't, I guess, especially at Tennessee, we have not seen over the years, are coaches that say, okay, what I'm doing is not working. Let's change the whole thing. I mean, he was going to control the defense. I'm the one calling the defense. I'm one of the best defensive coordinators in the game. Of course, I should call the defense. After year one, Derek Hansley gets hired. First thing he says is he's going to call the defense. It's his defense. He'll run it the way he needs to run it. I need to oversee the whole program. And I think that that's kind of what you're seeing on the offensive side, too, is he kind of tried to micromanage a little bit what was going on the offensive side. It didn't work out. And he said, okay, I was wrong, and let's make these changes. And so that's why Jim Chaney was paid what Jim Chaney's getting paid to come in. It'll still be physical, and they'll still rely on the running game, and that'll still be the bread and butter of what they're going to try to do. But you won't see 22 pass attempts per game or something like that. You're going to end up seeing probably 28 to 32 pass attempts a game, but never 45 or 50.
I just go back to, for me, last year was year one of a three-year process, because you look at the Tennessee Vols defense. Did they have the best defense in the SEC? No. Did they have the best defense in the SEC East? No. Was there a drop-off from first string to second string? Yes. Was there a major drop-off from first string to the third option? Absolutely. And so why in the heck are you trying to want to have a fast-paced, moving the ball downfield offense when if you do that, you're going to kill your defense, and by early third quarter, the other team can do whatever they want against your defense? So I thought it was smart on Jeremy Pruitt's situation, and Helton needs to grow up, and I think that we'll look at this fresh eyes after year three, as far as wherever this process is.
Yeah, and I think that you'll see them again. It's never going to be opened up, but I think you'll see it be a little more open. They'll attack the middle of the field more in the passing game, which was not something they did last year. So it'll be fewer quick passes to the outside, and then when they do take shots, it won't just be down the sideline. They're going to be willing to take chances. You know, Chaney's a guy that loves to run a tight end up the seam. Chaney's a guy that loves to run the wheel right out of the backfield. You'll see some things like that are attacking that are very different than what you saw last year for Tennessee. And I do think that, I mean, look, Pruitt's going to be what he is, but it's just interesting to see, like, from our end, to see the evolution of this guy, Mike, to see the way, like, how quickly he's capable and willing to change.